We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Where do we begin? How about we start in Luke? Come on, follow along with me. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, church. He is risen." Say it again, he is risen. Come on, how good is that? You know, I just, every time I think about what our Jesus did for us, it's one of those moments where you understand that no one else could do it. And we're going to explain that a little bit more, but it had to be the perfect sacrifice to cover all sin. And every Easter, I teach directly from this story that we just read together. Today, I'm not going to. Every Easter, I feel myself thinking about another conversation that I always want to talk about, but I don't get time. But I believe, not only in essence, but in substance, it is the very meaning of Easter. See, before Jesus ever went to the cross, he was speaking with Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And as she cried over the loss of her brother who had been dead for 4 days, Jesus says something so amazing, so profound, it literally is at the very heart of Easter Sunday. Will you look at this with me in John 11? Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and life." Let me help you understand, he had not yet been to the cross. He had not yet been raised from the dead. There was no resurrection, but he was already prophesying of himself what was to come. Okay? "The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Church, I have to ask you today, do you believe? Do you believe? Because it's important for you to understand that you can't ride coattails into heaven. You can't hang on to your grandmama's faith. You can't get granny to bring you through the gates. It's a personal relationship. You know, I know that I've spoken with so many people through the years, and they have been bait and switched this concept of, okay, I'll believe, but all they ever got was a stale religion, not a real relationship. Can I tell you, Jesus, he wants to offer you a real relationship. Do you believe? For those who believe in Jesus and that he was the Messiah, Easter made absolute, number one, a love like no other. There was a love displayed like no other. No other that, none that came before, none that'll ever come again. There's no other name by which man can be saved than through the name of Jesus. This ruffles some feathers. This makes people say, "I don't like how it doesn't seem very PC. It doesn't seem very open." Listen, I've got to help you understand. There was only one that came, only one that lived perfectly, only one that died thinking of you, and only one that rose again and was like, "Hey, I'll be back. Don't you forget it." There's only one. And it's a love like no other. He understood the weight. He bore the sin and was crushed for our iniquities. Who claimed it is finished at the cross. There's only one who went to hell and took the keys back, people. Come on, there's only one who once and for all overcame sin and death, who through overcoming the grave has given us the ability to have eternal life. Who appeared 11 times, 12 if you count the time when he met Saul on the road to Damascus. Hello, after resurrection. He was not scared to be seen again. In fact, he wanted to be seen so everyone knew it was true. And he showed up in one place where there were over 500 witnesses. How many think that would hold up in the court of law? Just 500 or so. He's the only one who ascended to the Father and intercedes right now, praying for us as we speak. who has not forgotten us or forsaken us, who will return to bring us to an eternal home while judging the living and the dead. He is our Jesus. The question is he your Jesus? He's my Jesus. Come on, can you say he's my Jesus? Is he your Jesus? Do you believe, church? You at home with the coffee in your hand, is he your Jesus? Come on, the dog's barking. Hello. Listen, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our grace, our atonement and propitiation, death's payment and life's guarantee. That's our Jesus. A love like no other. Look what it says in Acts 4. It says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Church, say there's no one else. Say it again, there's no one else. It had to be a spotless lamb. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Let me just for a minute help you understand. If you look through the Old Testament, God had made it very clear when his people sinned, they actually had to take a sacrifice and kill an animal and allow the blood of the sinless animal, because animals can't sin even though they got to your pillows, even though they ate that burger. It's instinct, it's not sin. Listen. It had to be a spotless, perfect sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, they would have to kill, and then they would have to offer the sacrifice to cover the sins that they had committed. So once and for all, God had to have a sinless person, being himself, robed in flesh, to be able to live the sinless life, to be the very spotless lamb that could once and for all be offered the last sacrifice that would ever need to happen for the sins of humanity. 1 Peter 1 says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, for my sake, for our sake. Look, we celebrate Easter Sunday because if not for Jesus overcoming sin and death, we would still be in our sin, hopeless and helpless. Good Friday and Easter Sunday were the plot twists that all of the souls of humanity were eagerly awaiting and desperately yearning for. It was a love like no other, church. Number two, Easter made absolute a love that liberates. Say liberates. Look what it says here in Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. What does that mean? Shame off you. Go and brush your shoulders off. Shame off of you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Can somebody give God a hand for that? The fact that he didn't just want to have you in relationship, he wanted to give you freedom. He wanted to give you the freedom that only comes from his son. You ready for number three? It's Easter Sunday. They have cut my time down. Number three, Easter made absolute a love that embraces. He claims us, church. He didn't just claim us. He adopted us. We've become family with God. How audacious. Pastor, how can you say that? Well, because the Bible said it. So I'm just going to say what the Bible said so you can read it for yourself. Let's go there. Come on, next scripture. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Church, we may experience some suffering on this side of heaven, but it'll never be what Jesus suffered for us. But if we suffer for Jesus, can I also tell you, we'll be glorified with him? There's one amen. Everyone else is still stuck on the suffering part. They're not sure about that. They're still trying to consider what that means. Look at our God. He offers a love that truly embraces us. God doesn't love us from afar. Instead, Jesus came near. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. He came down to do what we could not do. The Bible says he fulfilled the scriptures. He fulfilled the law to offer us a different kind of love. Can we just take a minute to think? God is Almighty God. God could have proven himself God in any way. Do you realize God could have proven himself powerful by using power? He could have wrapped his power in anything, but he chose to wrap it in love. If he had chose to push his power just because he's powerful, he would have commanded worship, but it would have been through fear because of the power. Instead, he wrapped his power in the almighty love that beckons and draws us close to be able to say, Abba, Father. Whew. Jesus has brought us close. More than a hug of acceptance, he has placed a robe on us. He has placed a signet ring on our fingers. And we too will be counted as family, sons and daughters of the King. Somebody give God an amen. Somebody give God a virtual hanky wave. Hey, if you're online, prove it. Drop a comment. Say hi. Say amen. Say, take your time, Pastor. Preach on. Come on, I'll take some time. Listen, number four, Easter made absolutes. A love that erases our sin, our pasts, our yesterday, our oops of tomorrow. Once and for all, God has given us the ability to live in newness of life. Sometimes you just got to shake it off. Anyone ever had a bad day? Just, you just know, you know, there are those moments where I got to tell my wife, look, I'm already apologizing for the future of today and I'm asking God to help me pull it together. But it was bad coffee, and that's a bad start to the day. Wasn't her. It was my barista, you know what I'm saying? Romans 8 tells us this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Ooh, I love this. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one. Our past has been erased. Our sin is gone. Not because we're perfect, but because he was perfect. Not because we don't mess up, but because we are covered in his blood. And someone's like, wow, that's weird. Do I clap there? Yes. It's a spotless lamb. We need the blood of Jesus in our life. Church, do you believe? Do you believe? No one can bring sin's charge against us. At the end, all has been erased. It was Jesus' death for our life. Say death for life. Death for life. It required death for us to have life. And it requires daily dying of ourselves to continue to walk in his life. Everyone's like, amen to that. Die daily, if you know what I'm saying. We got to be transformed. Number five, Easter made absolute, a love that transforms. I'm really thankful about this because God knows we couldn't do it on our own. That's why he sent Jesus in the first place. Jesus knew we couldn't do it on our own, so he himself said, look, it's better that I go back to the Father so that he sends the Holy Spirit, your advocate and helper, because you need help. Does anyone else need a little help? Can I get a little help in this place? We need a little help. 1 Corinthians, this is some scripture I need you to get, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die. How many are hoping to be in that generation? Hey, God, I don't need to die. I don't need a headstone. Just come on back, huh? Come on back, you hear? Listen, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. I got to pause for a minute. Could you imagine that last day sitting? Oh, man, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. Some of the Southern never comes out. It's always there, right? So listen to this. I can just imagine some people sitting on their rocking chairs with sweet tea, sitting across the street from a cemetery, and lives are starting to be raised. And they're like, oh, did you hear that trumpet? Whoo, that's going to be a day. That's going to be a day. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, church. Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. So people, it's important to understand that we can't just applaud Jesus. We can't just be a crowd around Jesus. We have to be followers of Jesus and be found in Jesus, be found in him. There were a lot of people that had the privilege of walking with Jesus, but they walked away. A lot of people said, well, if I was there and was able to see it for myself, I would just stick and stay the course. Judas didn't seem to think that was as easy. And he got to see it up close every day. It's important for us on this Easter Sunday not just to think that we're good with God just because we happen to follow a crowd and just because we happen to go to church. How is your personal relationship with a Savior that really wants to know you personally? He doesn't want you just to come and go. He doesn't want you just to talk and have friends with Christians. He wants you to be a friend of Christ. He wants you to be in him. Hello? And so number six, Easter made absolute a love that empowers. Romans 8:37 says this, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Who in here knows there are some days you just wish you felt a little bit more like a conqueror? You're just hoping to get through the day, but can I tell you, God's power isn't just for the afterlife, it's for here and now too. That's why miracles are still happening. That's why people are still lame, still walking, and blind, still seeing. Just last week, we laid hands on somebody. They had a lump that was growing on their neck, and they were worried about it. And I said, "You believe in the scripture?" He said, "I believe in the scripture." I said, "Okay, well, it's pandemic times. Let's go to my office where I can lay hands on you and pray." So I got the elders, just like the Bible says. We anointed him with oil, just like the Bible says. And he came back a week later and he said, "It's gone. It's just gone." And know what? It's because the power of Jesus still works. The name of Jesus is still almighty. Woo! It's a love that empowers. Because Jesus loves us, his power has been offered to us to work in us, through us, and for us. We are conquerors not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. It's a love that empowers. People are so thankful for the grace of God, as we should be. That's what's so amazing about the grace. How amazing was their medley here earlier? Oh my goodness. But listen, it's not just a grace that covers us. It's a grace that empowers us to live the life God called us to do. And you're not going to live it perfect. I just think about sometimes how as your kids get older and they get more independent and they have the ability to do all the things that you used to have to help them with. Every once in a while, it's really nice when they come back and ask for your help again. The feeling of love and still having this need to be around. God still wants you to know he likes when you come to him and have some needs. If you just had it all figured out and could do it all on your own, how often would you be even talking with him? It's a love that empowers. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us." He will raise us also by his power. Number seven, Easter made absolute a love that's eternal. Romans tells us, "For I am convinced," say convinced, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation," how many think that covered it all? "Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Look, it's an eternal thing. It's not a here today, gone tomorrow, unless it's the last day and then we're gone with him tomorrow. Oh, I'll be here all week, thank you. Listen, It's an eternal thing. I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't have to come again, and that he doesn't have to get on another cross, and that he doesn't have to do that again. It's an eternal thing. What he did was once and for all, and nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. John 3 says this: no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. This is Jesus talking, and we're about to lead into probably one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible, but I want to read this part for it too, okay? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Is that Son capitalized? Then that means he's the Son of God. That means Jesus is referring to himself. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Pause for a minute. In the Old Testament, when Moses was leading the people through the wilderness, a whole bunch of them got bit by snakes. How many think that's not a fun time? And Moses gets instructed by God that if he would put together a bronze snake and lift it up on a pole, that anyone that directed their eyes and saw the snake would be healed and they would not die. Where do you think we get our little symbol for the medical world? Here's the thing. Jesus was already speaking in that moment way before he would ever be lifted up. But he said, "If I be lifted up, I must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." He wasn't just saying, lift him up, woo, praise. He was saying, I got to be lifted up on a cross so that those that see me will be able to have eternal life. It's a powerful thing. And that's why Christianity is not known. When you think of the symbol of Christianity, it's not an empty tomb. It's the cross that he had to be lifted up on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. It's not about knowing the story of Jesus, church. It's not about attending church only. It's not about just playing the part. It's about believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the Son of God. It's about activating a faith that puts Jesus' blood over our sin. In the Old Testament, we read about the Passover, where sin is so rampant that God tells Moses a reaping is coming. He tells him to tell the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb and take a brush and paint the blood on the doorposts, and God will pass over the house and none in the house will die. Instead, they will live. So what is this? This is a judgment happening in the Old Testament. God is judging the world for what they're doing. But the blood that covered the doorpost is still important today. Because nowadays, when Jesus, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, offered his life for our sins, we have the ability to accept what he did on that cross for us. His blood, through faith, now covers our life. And when the reaping of this world comes, and it will, church, God will forgive and pass over his people again. Is that worthy of being excited? Is that worthy of thanking Jesus? The last verse in John 3 spells it out for us as I close today. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. When you accept Jesus, you're covered in the blood. My friend, today I ask, do you believe in Jesus? Will you be counted as one of his family? Will the judgment pass over you? And someone says, this is not a hip, modern message. It's a timeless theology that we better get right. You can't ride coattails into heaven.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.